Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. On behalf of our co-founder and our apostle, Dr. Ruth W. Smith, we thank you and we praise God for you being here. And those of you who are tuned in, we love God for you, and especially you. We are Light of the World, and we are located at 5883 Highway 165 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. But we are ministering to the world. Hallelujah. Because we are the light of the world. Amen. We thank God for an opportunity, amen, to study his word, to understand him better. Amen. So we can love him so much more. And the more we love him, the more we want to share him and his goodness and his grace towards us. Amen. So we thank God for you, and especially you. We love God for what he's going to do. Amen. And we are in Romans, the fourth chapter. Amen. Romans, the fourth chapter. And we know where Paul is continually to talk to these two groups of people in the one church. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, Jewish folks. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, Gentile folks. Amen. In one church. And so some people, even though we're all saved and we're all on the way to heaven, we try to still feel like we're better than somebody else. So Paul is just letting them set the record straight and letting them know to check themselves. Because even though you're Jew, that don't mean you have anything up on the Gentiles. Because the one who you're bragging about, Abraham, was a Gentile. When he received the promise, he was a Gentile. Hallelujah. So the promise came first to the Gentiles. So do not get it twisted. Paul is saying, do not get it twisted. Amen. And so, but it doesn't matter where you came from. My mama said, it matters where you're going. It ain't how you start, it's how you end. Amen. So today we're talking about how we got down to where Paul has begun to show them through two characters how grace and faith came beyond circumcision, beyond the law. Amen. Grace is where we should be now, and we thank God for grace because grace is what's going to take us through, and we need faith in order to access grace. We need faith in order to access grace. And so if you don't use your faith, you would never access the grace that God has to store for you. And so we see where he's talking about Abraham, who's the father of faith. He's also called the father of the Jews, but he's also called the father of faith. And so that covers the whole world. Because when God met him and told him, made him a promise, he said that I'm going to make you great and you will be influenced the world. Amen? And so we thank God for this. And we see where we're down to verse 19. And Paul began to say that, listen, Abraham was so strong in what he believed. And now because he's the father, that means if we want to be his children, you got to do what? You got to follow him. So you got to have the same faith Abraham's faith had. And he's demonstrating how Abraham's faith was so great that even things that he did not see, because he trusts God, he believed it anyway. And that's how we have to be today. You may not see what God told you that you're going to have, but you got to see it before you see it. And last week we talked about how that Paul is saying that God, who was quickened the dead, and call it those things which be not as though they were. And we came across that today we can do the same thing, because we may not be feeling good, but we can call health into our being. We can say, I don't feel good, but I know I'm healed by the stripe of Jesus. So we can call those things that be, that as not be as though they are. And in our lives, through faith, that's what we can do. It's not that we're not saying that a chair going to be a lizard or something like that. We're going to call things that we know through the eyes of faith that we can call it as though it were. Amen. So we thank God for that. So God, and the thing about this, when he said he had quickened the dead, and call those things. So when he quickened the dead, now we can think about all the things that he that is dead in our lives that he has quickened. But when we talk about he's quickened the dead, we know that Abraham was old. Sarah's womb was dead. And he quickened that. Yes, he did. But if we go further to what we're talking about, justification, we can see how when Jesus was crucified and he was dead, and now he quickened the dead and brought him back to life. So if he had just died for our sins, it wouldn't have mean anything. But he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. With all power in his hand. And so no matter what we go through today, we can rise again. Amen. So we wind up at who against hope believe also in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And we talked about how faith is void without a promise. There's no need for faith without a promise. When we believe in a chair that's going to hold us because the manufacturer promised us that the chair going to hold us. When we get a phone, the manufacturer say the phone going to work. So he promised us something, and we believe in his promise. Now the thing about it is that man and manufacturers and companies have flaws. That's why we have lawsuits going on. That's why we have the good seal, the good housekeeping seal, and all these things to try to prove out that the equipment is going to work properly, that their product is going to work properly. But God, who made everything, who is perfect in everything, he made us a promise. He made Abraham a promise. And even though the promise he made was far bigger than Abraham. And that's what a promise is. A promise is an offer made by somebody who is in authority or greater than you are, offering you something that you cannot obtain yourself. Something that you cannot obtain yourself. He made us a promise that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved, meaning that you now become a child of God, which you can't do on your own. Jesus told Nicodemus, who is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. You must, not that you may, but you must be born again. Hallelujah. And so in order to be born again, you have to then believe the promise. But he said that if you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. If you do this, you shall be saved. So the promise is that I'm going to be saved. And so by my faith now, because my faith is the substance of things hoped for, I don't get it. I ain't have it yet. But I believe. And because of that, now my faith is in action. And based on my faith, is what determined my behavior. Because Abraham believed God, he didn't stay home with his dad. Because the promise said if you leave your father's house and your kindred. And so Abraham obeyed. And so when we believe God, we got to obey.
I think, and I never thought about it until you just now said it, about part of that promise was that he left his father's house. So even if he had the same faith in believing, but staying there at his father's house and their dwelling, I don't think it would have played out in the same way. And what you were saying about God's promise, when he said, you know, it's eternal and it'll come to pass. And you were talking about like items. I thought about how they only give a warranty.
Right.
And that warranty is limited. But God's promise, amen, is eternal.
That's right. Amen.
Amen to the glory of God.
Amen.
Amen. So no matter what we do, we got to know that God has promised us. And if he promises to us, it's going to come to pass, no matter what. And so he said heaven and earth. And the thing is that what is so good that he said he watched over his word.
Mm-hmm.
Good God Almighty. Hallelujah. To make sure it performs. My God. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this thing about to blow my mind. He's watching over. He spoke it, but he didn't just let it go. When he said, let there be light, light came. And so and because he speaks in eternity, when he spoke eternity, light still got to go. the cloud, it can be cloudy all it won't, but the sun is still shining. You cannot stop the sun from shining because God said, let there be light. So if he promises, it is guaranteed. It is guaranteed. So the thing is that his word is a promise to us. And so Abraham is an example that how we have to believe the promise. No matter what. Because it says, even against hope, it was no hope for them. But he still hoped and believed in hope. Because his hope wasn't in himself, his hope was in God. And so even when we don't see it, when it seems impossible, we got to still have hope. And our hope can't be in ourselves, but our hope got to be in God. So even against hope, he believed in hope that he would be the father of many nations. Why? Because it was said by the word of God. According to that was spoken. Not according to what him and Sarah came up with, under his little plan to go into Hagar. That wasn't the plan. That was not the plan. And anytime you do go and you devise your own plan, it's going to plague you for the rest of your life. We can see even today in modern day history, the Jews and the Arabs are at war. The two sons are fighting. So we got to believe the promise of God. God promised us. And you know, it's amazing how the Bible says we have to have that childlike faith. Because when our parents promise us anything, guess what? We do not try to figure out, do they have the money in the bank? We don't try to figure out how are they going to do it. They said that they're going to have this such and such whatever. We believe what they say they're going to do. Right? And so that's the way. That's why Jesus said we have to have that childlike faith. Except we become like a child, we can't enter. We got to believe it no matter what. So Abraham demonstrated his faith by trusting God no matter what he saw or didn't see. And like I say, faith is how you see it. Faith is how you see it. And so we stop at the 18th verse and say, so shall thy seed be. So God had made us promise. We can go all through all his Bible. Deuteronomy 28, from verse 1 to 13. We ain't got to go to 14. 14 tell you about the curse. We're going to talk about the blessing. Right? And so we got to make sure that we know the promises of God. Don't let the devil twist the promise. Because, you know, that's what he did with Eve. You should not surely die. Yeah, God really said that, you know. But don't let nobody, and the thing is, God, we have it so good now that we have it as right. Abraham ain't had nothing right. Right? And so not only we have it in right, but he wrote on the table of our heart. Oh, my God. If you got it written in there, the devil in hell can't take it out. In order for it to come out, you got to give it away. Because he said, the peace that I give you, the world can't give it to you. And so when God makes promises, all we have to do is go back to those promises and remind ourselves, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So all we have to do is continually repeat the word of God to build our faith up, to encourage ourselves, and let us know that, hey, God promises, he's big enough, he's bad enough, and he's going to make it come to pass. Amen? Any comments on those verses that we just covered? So we ended last week. So we're going to start at 19 and 20. Elder David.
And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He let his faith override when unbelief was there, even for Pharaoh's faith.
Mm-hmm.
The natural man would have said, I'm 100 years old, I can't even put my shoes on. And Pharaoh don't look like she did when she was 20.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to let unbelief trip me up. Remember, mm-hmm. Jesus went to a place and he didn't do any miracles because the people there had unbelief. So Abraham, believing God the way he did, knew that God, if God said it, he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Not only could he, would do it. So he didn't let unbelief,
mm-hmm.
Like a lot of times our pastors and preachers get up and they mm-hmm. prophesy and they lay hands on people, and before we get home, we let unbelief come in and steal it, to give you a word of healing or whatever you need. But the devil and his operative, they're coming to steal it. The Bible even tells us that when you throw the word, what happens to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's up to us as to what happens to that word. If our heart is on stony ground, if it's on good ground, and if it's receiving the word and believing the word, and throughout the Bible there are examples, like the woman with the issue of blood. And she kept going through the crowd,
mm-hmm.
but she kept saying to herself, over and over again, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made over. But unbelief would have said, man, ain't no sense in me going down there. I done wasted my money. All the doctors are hypocrites. All the preachers want is my money. And I'm just gonna die in this position and let whatever happen, let happen. That's unbelief. But through her faith, if I could just touch, what are you doing in this crowd? If I could just touch. So Abraham, with the same mentality, God has said it. And where Abraham got all this faith is amazing to me. You live in a house of people who are witchcraft and all these, the sun god, the moon god, the rock god, and all this stuff, but they never did anything. They never produced anything. So I see why God picked out Abraham. So well, he knew his heart. He knew everybody in the crowd. You know that little kid right there. That boy, there's gonna see him make somebody there. You can see him out there playing in yard. 10 of them, 4, 5, 6 years old. One of them over there on the side reading the book, doing something positive. And you look at his spirit. That boy, there's gonna. They call it the bent. He's bent. He's gonna be a preacher. He's going to do this and all this. That right there, he ain't that so scared to no good. But God can come in and change all that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. So Abraham had reached to die. When he looked at his own body, and every man know his own limitations. And they ought to. and so he looks at his own circumstances and say, based on what I see, and he pointed out, he didn't say, well, that, and God fixed itself just so he can prove himself to Abraham. He made sure Sarah was barren. So it couldn't say, well, we just, you know, the nation came out of us. We did this. We had a good night that night, and it was Valentine night, and we got some babies. No, uh-uh. God had to work this out. The only way this is going to happen is God do it. And so when we see, like I heard Elder Davis said, that you get a word at church, that God going to heal your body. Now, by the time you get home, you're going to be healed. And then you get to the house, and you call Cousin Susie. And she say, now, you remember your granddaddy died with that same thing? Then you start thinking, oh, it's in my family, you know. And then all of a sudden now, you start getting witnesses that, yeah, this happened, and that happened, and this happened. Before you know it, you done crowd your mind so much with what doubt and fear is that you can't even see now what God says. And so Abraham didn't stagger even though he saw, right? It was evident that ain't no way in the world this can happen. But he trusts God that whatever he said, he's going to make it through. And Abraham is not to Abraham's credit. It's because God chose him. He didn't get this one. He didn't do this on his own. God chose him and appointed him and anointed him in order for him to do it. He can do it on his own strength. Because he's saying now, based on our condition, this thing it could never happen. But instead of him dwelling on what he sees, and that's our problem. We just got to see something. That little lady with the issue of blood, think about it. She was illegally in the crowd. She could have got stoned. She risked, oh my God, she risked being stoned to prove her faith. So even today, we're talking about it. She was ruthless. She spent all her money. It got worse. So she did not mind breaking the law. She shouldn't have been in the crowd. But she was determined in her mind. And nobody told her, as you touch his hem, you're going to be healed. But that's what faith does. It'll create an atmosphere for deliverance. Faith will create the atmosphere for deliverance and for healing. It'll create stuff. Because there was no written thing about her touching the hem of his garment going to make her heal. You know, I know we're saying that we know that the tassels are the end of the ephod and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't written nowhere. It wasn't written nowhere. But because of faith, it'll give you things to do. Have you ever had an experience where you were faced in something, you didn't know what to do, and all of a sudden, they'll go off and you say, hey, I can do this. There ain't no written thing that was there, but all of a sudden the Holy Ghost just speak it, and you just do it. That's how faith is. And so in other words, we have to trust God no matter what. Because if we trust him no matter what, it's got to work out. it's got to work out because he said it will. And if he said it will, it's going to work out. Because if he says it is a law, then he messed around and said that we are kings and priests. And we can declare some things according to his word. And it shall be law. Hallelujah. Man, that's a powerful thing. And Abraham didn't even stagger. And it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, meaning Viagra couldn't help. Being dead. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness, two dead things he's talking about. Sarah womb and him, both dead. But he didn't stagger at the what? We got a promise, y'all. And the promises of God, and we should not stagger at the promise through unbelief. But what he said, being strong in faith and doing what? The end of it all is giving glory to God. That little lady didn't want to get healed just so she can go brag about, oh, I came up with that thing. Now all y'all who want to get healed, y'all come and I'll show y'all how to touch the hem of his garment. No. That lady was sick and tired of being sick. Go ahead.
Verse 20, that, you know, it's saying he did not waver. In other words, he didn't have unbelief and unbelief. And so the not wavering, the staying steady in that gave honor to God. And then what you were saying, like Elder Davis, you were saying about the woman with the issue of blood, you know, and you know, God or, you know, Holy Ghost, whatever, put that in her mind. Of course, she was also, like you said, was illegally in the crowd, which wasn't going to stand up straight. But just because that was her way to come to the Lord and be healed, you know, she can't go back and tell everybody else that that's the way you be healed.
Right.
Because, you know, their faith or belief, God might say, you know, touch his arm or touch his shoulder or do something like that, you know, so we can't throw the way we believe in God's salvation even or even healing. We can't tell somebody that that's the only way because that's the way it happens, you know.
Right. Yeah, you know, that's how people start their own ministry.
Yeah, that's the ism.
Yeah. You know,
healing. They start their own ministry. That's the damn common.
God, stop it.
They got water from Jerusalem. They got all these other things, the spring, whatever.
Yeah.
And they have ministries of faith.
Sure.
But your faith has got to be based on the word to give glory to God. Not yourself. And we see got my Sister Ollie is in queue. Sister Ollie, you're now live on the air.
Yeah.
Also
through Abraham's faith, I believe that through what he went through, yeah, he was 100 years old. And, yeah, people probably looked at him like, you're stupid, you're crazy, that's not going to happen. You know, he didn't look at what people were saying. But through his faith, I believe that other people back then, faith was increased by what God did for him because he stood firm in the word. And you're right, that's how we should be. But what we do sometimes, when the Lord tells us that he's going to do something for us, we feel like, hey, God, you're taking too long. So I need to help you out a little bit. God don't need us to help him out. He needs us to trust him. So we start trying to go out on our own to do things, and we mess up things, and then we say God did not do it. No, it's because of your faith being wavering, and it's because of doubt, and God does not work in doubt.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You and part of the book I told you that I wrote.
Thank you.
Says there's hope beyond the reasons to doubt, and so the thing is, one of the reasons that causes us to doubt is the time span between the promise and the receipt of the promise. If that distance is long, it's more room to doubt. There's more room to say this thing ain't gonna work. You know, first time you hear it, you were shouting, what's going on, man? A month go by, the little shout start to go down. Another month go by, a year go by, then all of a sudden, that thing ain't going to happen, you know? And so the thing is, though, if we look at the life of Abraham, it didn't happen overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It took him some time. 25 years, wasn't it? I mean, it took him some years.
It took a while.
And so that even... That even speaks to his faith, that he didn't waver. Because in 25 years, I mean, we can make a lot of things. we can make a lot of things and say, hey, man, this ain't going to work, so I'm trying another route. I'm going to go do this stuff on my own. But Abraham did not shake concern the promise. And he didn't worry about what his present condition is. And that's where we get tripped up. We look at our present condition. In our condition, we know changes, just like our feelings. We can't base nothing on our feelings. Your feelings going to change in the next 5 minutes or 5 seconds, right? So the thing is that we got to make sure we continue to trust God no matter what things look like in our lives today. We got to trust God in spite of. And if it don't happen tomorrow, that don't mean it's not going to happen. And if you get weary about it, ask God. But when the thing's supposed to happen, he didn't ask me.
Look at Noah when he was building the ark. I mean, he was preaching the same thing over and over. There were some people who followed him, that trusted him and believed in the God that he believed in, and they were saved because of it. But sometimes we grow weary in well-doing instead of, you know, trusting God like we should.
And look, because Noah preached for 120 years, then. Well, that's a long time to tell somebody it's going to rain and it ain't going to rain. Lying preacher right there. That preacher right there, the truth will be ever killed. Right? I mean, you for 120 years, you tell somebody it's going to rain.
Yeah.
And it ain't happened yet.
Mm.
You don't say that. Mm. That's a lie.
Mm.
But Noah did not get weary in it. He kept doing it. And he only had one message. It's going to rain.
it's gonna rain. And then, you know, then nobody know what rain is. It's gonna rain. And it's gonna rain again too. You know, and so, yeah. So we got to make sure that nothing shakes our faith. And so when we feel doubt, when we sense doubt trying to come in, and we know when doubt's trying to come in. You know, when your carnal mind, when you get out of spirit, your carnal mind starts saying, "What you know, God telling you about what you can see." You need to right away when you start hearing about what you can see naturally. So you know that's a flesh. Right away, you ought to say, okay, let me back up off of that. Go ahead.
But, you know, we also know who's behind doubt is Satan. Because when Jesus was in the wilderness, he tried to bring doubt upon Christ. But Christ was out there on a mission. And Christ knew who he served. And see, we got to know that we are sold out to the Lord. We got to know that if the Lord sent us there, he's going to bring us out of there. Yeah, sometimes the Lord will send us through the wilderness. He will. It's in order to, you know, test our own faith. But we got to be strong enough to know that no matter what, if the Lord put me out there, he's going to bring me out of there. But, you know, sometimes we just give up because we say, why me? Why? But, see, we got to be able to put the word back on Satan the same way he's going to bring negativity to us to try to make us feel sorry or have a pity party.
Yeah, we got to trust God no matter what. No matter what, we got to trust God because if he said it, he said, let there be light, and it's still light. So if he says he's going to take care of you, he will take care of you. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. He didn't say you ain't going to have no yoke.
And we ain't never seen God before, you know, directly. We haven't seen him before. So we got to trust and believe that he is God. So if we trust and believe that he is God through his word, then, you know, that's why it's important that we encourage one another, because I know I get slack, and I'm sure others get slack too, that, you know, when it comes to faith, that we just encourage each other in the word. Hey, you can do it. You know, if God said it like we're doing now, he's gonna make it happen, because he's not a man that he shall lie.
Right. Amen. Okay. All right. So we're gonna do just verse 21 by itself. I should have added that with the last one. Verse 21 by itself.
All righty. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. And my commentary. Abraham did not know how God would fulfill his word, but that was incidental. He knew God had every confidence that God was fully able to do what he had promised. In one way, it was a wonderful faith, but in another, it was the most reasonable thing to do, because God's word is the surest thing in the universe, and for Abraham, there was no risk in believing it.
Wow.
That's good.
So when you trust God, it's guaranteed. Because it's guaranteed. It's not guaranteed by, like I said before, not by a company who can be sued or whatever, because the guarantee, don't hold care on water. This guarantee stands as sure.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! So it's not even far fetched. My mama would say, to trust God, because he's God. And if we understand the the power of God. I mean, this true power that he's outside of time, watching time. I mean, he know when it ends. He know, think about the trillions and billions of people in the world. And he deals with each individual at the same time. Now, you can have three kids. Yeah, I guarantee you can't deal with three of them at the same time. And not only that, knows their thoughts. Listen. He knows that our thoughts are far off. Not what we're thinking now. Even before we think it, he knows it already. Each individual in the world. I mean, sometimes it'll just blow your mind. To think of how big, how great, and how awesome he is. To be able to do that. Computers can't do that. I mean, everybody in the world, he knows their very thought right now and what they're going to think 5 minutes from now and a year from now. So why shouldn't we believe him? He already saw it happen. What we're dealing with now, he already saw the end of it. We're in the middle of it. He saw the end already.
Now, when you said that, you know, I was thinking too for like, you know, just be honest, people plan not to do right or plan to sin. And when you were saying he can see it afar off, you know, before the action takes place. And I think, you know, I believe that's why the word says that he gives us a way of an escape before it happens. But if we don't take it, there was a warning because he already know, and he sent the Holy Spirit, you know, to give you this unction that is wrong. Don't do it. Don't go there. But if you press past that and do it, then you have to suffer the consequences.
And you know, the thing is that even after the consequences,
mm-hmm.
if you think about Israel, they disobeyed God, right? So he put them in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
But he still blessed them while they were in captivity.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he anointed a heathen king because of their sake while they were in captivity. I mean, that was a heathen.
Yeah.
Isaiah 65, I think, says Cyrus was anointed by God because what he did. He made sure that the temple got rebuilt with the heathen's money. God did that even while they were in captivity, while they were sinning, while they were being punished. But for his name's sake, he moved on a heathen king to do his will. So he's going to bring us out no matter what. Even in our failures and our faults or whatever, he's still going to bring us out. Y'all don't give us room to keep going up.
No, don't
God forbid, right?
Yes, sir.
But the love of God. You know, and then he had a decree. So when the other kings looked at it, they couldn't do nothing about it. There was a law. That everything the Jews need for the temple comes out of the king's treasury. They enslaved and the king paid them for their stuff. God is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so why shouldn't we just he is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He is faithful and he says that all things are working together for well.
I
did. It isn't his good, then. But think about it now. He said, all work together for us because we are called according to
those who love him.
If you love him, you're called according to his purpose. He's going to work for your good.
So we have no reason not to trust him. We have no reason to doubt him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have a great cloud of witnesses. And a lot of them ain't in the Bible. We see them every day.
Mm-hmm.
Great cloud of witnesses that they know God is a miracle worker. I know he's a miracle. I know he's working miracles in me. I'm telling you, Stephen, B.C., 1975. But God. To be all the glory. And so we got to trust God no matter what. And this verse says he was fully. The version I have, he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. No doubt, no way that God was able to do what he said he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about Abraham and the stuff that he went through with God, I ain't talking about another nation or whatever. God said, hey, I need you to offer your son. Man, you got to really know. You got to really know that's God. You better know that's God. And then, like I think I mentioned before, when he left to go offer the boy, he told the servant, me and the boy are coming back now. So that's faith right there by saying, I'm going to do the thing God tell me to do in some kind of way. Me and the lad coming back. You don't know. I mean, could you fathom you going to do something that's going to kill the boy, but your faith is so strong in God that you said, me and the lad coming back. And he's not trying to flim-flam them and try to trick them on what he going to do. But I believe his faith is that was that strong that he believed some kind of way. I don't know how, but God is going to make sure this boy stay alive because this is a promise. This boy is greater than I am because he is the promise. And so Abraham did not stagger, and he had reasons to stagger. Good God Almighty. But through all of that, he just trusts God. And that's how we have to be, no matter what we face. Our bodies breaking down and failing on us, and God would take care of us. He'll heal us. Sometimes you have good days, sometimes you have bad. You might have pain or whatever, but God got a way to take care of us, right? And we got to keep trusting God no matter what. And when Paul had an issue, a thorn in his flesh, what God told him? My grace is sufficient. This thing ain't going to kill you. It's to keep you humble. Oh, my God. You know that's some love, right? Now, you know that sound like? That sounded like what my mama said when she whooped me. And I said, I ain't did nothing. She said, that's for what you're going to do.
Nope.
That's for what you're going to do and what you're going to think about doing. So God put this thorn in Paul to make sure he stayed humble. Because, you know, Paul had a right really to be some bumps. Because all the stuff that he did and how God changed him and God revealed so much to him. He could have said, you know, I'm God met me personally, and have all this stuff, and didn't even have to go to Jerusalem to meet with Peter. But he humbled himself and did that, and submitted himself unto Peter, right? And so God know what it takes to keep us where we need to be, and that's what love does, right? Love will keep you where you need to be, because sometimes this flesh man. It's a mess. It'll make you think some stuff that you know you got to be crazy to be thinking.
You know, like people lost the election and they think they still won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to be off your rock. Course after course after course already proved everything was fine, but in your head, you still think something got to be wrong with that, right? And so we got to trust God no matter what. No matter we see, no matter what we don't see. Amen? Man, so let's go to verse 22 and 23 of the Heath. 22 and 23, unless there's any more comments.
At the New American Standard. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him. Okay. Yeah, kind of self-explanatory. So, like you said, we were talking about his trust, his belief in God's word, and because God really, what it wasn't him. He believed, but because God saw his heart, his heart remained steady in belief. And that was a credit to him as righteousness, and that's what God counted as righteousness because, you know, God looks upon the heart. You know, man looks on the outside. So he could see that steadiness in his heart no matter what, and the unwavering be credited to us as well for righteousness. If our heart stays in that place of unwavering, if it stays in steady belief, no matter what comes up upon us. This wasn't written just for his sake, but for all of those who are going to come afterwards, for you know, until eternity. This kind of steadiness of belief in your heart can be credited to you as righteousness, and upon Jesus coming, it's credited, you know, when you speak it out as salvation.
Because when somebody believes in you, it is amazing.
Take it. I wrote a couple of songs, and then I had some people who can sing, want to background my song.
Ooh, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God! And in order to do it, you got to go to the studio, you got to spend time, you got to you know. You got to show up and you got to, all the sacrifice they're making because they believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I were coming to some money, guess what I would do? I would have to say thank you so much. You know, I thank them in different little ways, but not as much as I want to do it.
Yeah.
And so when you think about somebody doing something for you, do something that you trust in God, he's gonna rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, "If you believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, he's gonna reward you, right?"
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, it's a good feeling to have somebody believe in being God. He's gonna reward you if you believe in him, and so he began to take that faith and said, you're righteous. He covered us with righteousness. He covered Abraham with righteousness because of his faith, because he believed it.
Mm-hmm.
He rewarded him by saying, you're righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And if God called you righteous, good God Almighty, that's a good place to be. For God to call you righteous. And so it wasn't just for Abraham. Like he just been saying, it's not just for him. All of us who believe God.
Mm-hmm.
All of us believe. No matter what whatever tribe you came from, if you're a Gentile, no matter where you came from, if you believe and have faith in God, it's imputed to you for righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the righteousness of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's not written just for his sake alone. We can ride off it. We can benefit from it. You say, I'm righteous because I trust God. Not because of who I am, but because of my faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
My trust in God would make me right. Not what I do or what I don't do.
Mm-hmm.
My righteousness comes from trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And what Jesus did on the cross. His sinner's work on the cross makes me righteous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's because we can't work, do anything to make us right.
Amen.
Christ's death on the cross and our trust in God.
Mm-hmm.
What he did through Jesus Christ makes us right. And I'm glad about it.
Amen.
How about you? Amen.
Yes,
any comment? We'll keep that four minutes. Any other comment? Okay, we're going to get to another verse then.
Mm-hmm.
You only got two more?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go there. Let's go. Okay, so Ella Davis, do 24 and 25 then.
24. It shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised of Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Key word here is if we believe on him that raised Jesus from the dead, then all of these other promises are available to us. So the key word is if we believe,
mm-hmm.
Then we are justified. But we have to believe in God through Jesus Christ. They used to say, no praise, no raise. Well, no faith in Jesus Christ, then you're not going to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing from beginning to end and was about Jesus Christ. Jesus told you read the script, you know the scriptures, and you think that through the scriptures you have redemption, you have salvation, but it's really me that they're talking about. And I've heard churches who don't believe in the Old Testament, or preachers who don't believe in the Old Testament, some don't believe in the Holy Spirit, some don't believe in the gift of the Spirit, but that's why it's about what you, Romans 1:16 said, it is the salvation of God unto everyone
mm-hmm.
that believes. So without no belief, there's no faith,
mm-hmm.
and there's no faith, there's no Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
it's like that,
mm-hmm.
and it says,
mm-hmm.
blown in the wind, sitting
mm-hmm.
in the wind.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Believe.
It's the key.
It's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal thing. Mama can't believe for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mama can pray for you. The preacher can lay his hands on it. They
mm-hmm.
can baptize
mm-hmm.
you. They can dip in all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to believe.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. But Jesus, only way we can be righteous is because of what Jesus did. Not because any work we did, but whatever Jesus did, that's, and we believe that he did it. And not only that he did it, but it was done for us. And it was done for us, and he didn't just die, but he rose from the dead. That gave us life. Now we're justified. We got true justification. That somebody done paid our bail, paid our debt to society, so we didn't have to serve the sentence. But we have been redeemed, the Lamb who is Jesus Christ himself. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so we finished chapter 4. Mm. All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're moving on up. All right, thank God. So today we thank God for this word, we pray that your faith has been inspired and increased. Amen. That you trust God no matter what you see or don't see, you trust his word. You take his abundant word and you will do exactly what he said. My daddy say exactly what he said. He will do it. Amen. Come on, clap glad hands for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for Pastor Ann through the offering.
I'm going to give Pastor Stephen a big round of praise.
Hallelujah.
And all of you for being in here and teach this word. Amen.
Amen.
We want to give a shout out to Ella Heath. She will be bringing the word tonight. And
hallelujah.
Bring the word Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
All right.
Give her a hand.
Preacher. Preach.
Share that word through you
on
tonight
Amen.
And tomorrow and Sunday morning.
Amen.
So we give God the glory
Amen.
For that. One key thing in this lesson is the love. And I believe you mentioned it. It's the love. And when we love God, then we don't want to hurt God. See, you don't want to do anything to not please God. You know, sometimes we talk about that cross and that Jesus is still on that cross. You don't want to wear that cross because Jesus is still on it. Yeah. And when we sin, we have that feeling that we are putting him back on that cross. So if the key is love and that we want to do what we need to do in order to please God. So come on and give God some glory. Faith and believe that God is God and Jesus is his son and that he died on the cross for us. And not only did he die, coming back to receive us into himself. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to go on and take up our offering at this time. And those of you that are giving that are online, we want you to go on and use the Light of World app. And then you can text me and let me know the amount that you gave. We are encouraging everyone to pay your tithes and give your offerings at this noonday Bible study. And whatever you give today, we want you to text it to me at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. You know the word says that if we give, he'll give it back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto our bosom. So we'll continue to give. We're going to continue to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. So we bless God for all of those that are in-house that you can use your check, cash, use your app to give your offering on today. Anyone need a number low? Okay. So, Father, we thank you, and God, we glorify you, and we bless your name, God. Thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord God, for those who are giving on today, Lord God, and those that may not have it to give, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless them in a mighty way, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come on and give God some glory. Amen. 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 Thank God today. Thank God. We pray, amen, that our faith fail us not. Amen. And because Satan desires for our faith to fail. But if we keep trusting in God and we got his word to depend on, we are not faint. Amen. We will continue to trust God. So we thank God for you, especially you. Amen. Being here today. And we bless God for Ella Heath, the Spirit of God uses her tonight like never before in the name of Jesus. Because it's all about God, not about us. Amen. So we give God all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. We look for you guys on the same time next week. At the same place, Light of the World, Stockbridge. Hallelujah. Amen. So we dismiss from this place. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for loving us enough to express your love to us that we can trust you no matter what we see, no matter what's going on. We can always trust you. God, so increase our faith that we trust you in spite of, in the name of Jesus. God, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Oh, God, anoint us, appoint us, oh, God, and protect us as we go. Bring us back on that appointed time. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Yep. Yep.